Please welcome Pastor Darren Lum as he brings today his word.
Thank you, Raina. Well, again, good morning and happy Father's Day. Amen. You know, and as I was trying to put this message together, I was just asking the Lord, what is it that I want to share with fathers? And I was stirring some things in my head. I always mention to my wife. She's the reason why I'm able to do what I do is because of my wife. And I said, you know what? What about this? She goes, nah, I don't know about that. Then I said, you know what? One thing that has placed on my heart was the importance of a father's blessings. You know, I was gonna preach something about fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but I was thinking, no, we don't need to know that. We need to know about a father's blessings. And I'll be reading from Genesis. And I'm going to just give you a little setup of what I'm reading from, because if you read this, it's from Genesis chapter 27. And if you start reading this a little bit, you can say, hey, wait, though, it sounds like a blessing, but it also sounds like a little deception involved. So we know the story about Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. We know that earlier in Genesis, before chapter 27, when Esau was dead hungry. I mean, I can't imagine how dead hungry he was, but he asked his brother, you know, if he would give him something to eat, a pot of stew, you know. So Jacob gives it a pot of stew, but he tells it first, you got to give me your birthright. So Esau was that hungry that he gave Jacob his birthright. And you know, in those days, birthright was something of very importance. Because birthright was saying that I'm the firstborn, I'm going to get the best of it. I'm going to be the first to get the blessings. I'm going to be the first. But Esau ends up selling his birthright to his brother. And then we move on to chapter 27, where I'll be sharing this message from. And let me just set it up. So Isaac, Jacob's father, is nearing his life. And in tradition, as a father, what he wants to do is he wants to bless his eldest son. So he asks Esau to go and hunt game and prepare him a meal. That way, after he prepares the meal, gives it to him, he can bestow upon his official, irrevocable. We've heard that word used many times, especially when it comes to like a living trust, a will. Irrevocable blessing before he dies. And you know what irrevocable means? I know most of us, it means that it can never change. It's impossible to change. So that's what it was, this irrevocable blessing. So this is the part where there's a little scheming involved. Rebecca overhears the father's request to Esau, and she preferred her younger son, Jacob. So he tells him, you know what? Disguise yourself as Esau. And he tells them, well, how can you do that? Because Esau was a hairy man, and I'm not. So what she does is she prepares goat skins and puts it on his clothes and his arm and his neck, mimicking Esau. So this is where the blessing comes now. And again, I'm not saying this is all about deception. I'm just setting the example of what the blessing is all about. So Jacob brings the meal to his blind father. And as he begins to speak to the father kind of questions, like, this doesn't sound like my eldest son's voice. But as he begins to touch his arm and his neck, he goes, no, but he has the hairiness of my eldest son, Esau. So what he does is he blesses Jacob. So that's where my story is going to begin, about the blessing. Because after he blesses Jacob, when Jacob leaves, right after he leaves, Esau comes in. And then Esau says, okay, here's the food you wanted me to prepare for you. But then he goes, oh, wait now. I just gave a blessing to you just a little while ago. He goes, that wasn't me. So then Esau realized that his youngest brother deceived the father, and the father gave the blessings to Jacob. So Esau says, Dad, where's my blessing? And what did he say? I gave it to your youngest son, Jacob. And that's how important a blessing was back then, because it wasn't in our time we say, oh, okay, Esau, whatever I told him, I'm telling you now, this is for you. Whatever the father said to Jacob was irrevocable. Regardless if it was through deception or what, it was irrevocable because he poured the blessing upon his son. And that's what I want to point out today is for us fathers, this irrevocable blessings that we place on our children. And it has nothing to do with the deception of this story, but it has everything to do with the verses and the words that I read in Genesis chapter 27, verses 27 to 29. Amen? So, and also, this doesn't exclude mothers. I know we just had Mother's Day, but this doesn't exclude mothers from blessing, because I looked in God's word, and a great example was Hannah. Hannah, and we know Hannah had a son, and his name was Samuel. And what does Hannah do? She brings Samuel to the house of the Lord, the scripture says. And you know what that is? She's dedicating Samuel to the Lord, just like how we dedicate our children to the Lord. So Hannah brings her son Samuel to the house of the Lord, which in our days is church. And this is what she says. She says in 1 Samuel verse 128, she says, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Amen. So, mothers, that doesn't excuse, but nevertheless, today is Father's Day. And it's time that we celebrate the influences of fathers and father figures or spiritual fathers. Amen. And we're not just talking about any old father. We're talking about spiritual fathers. And one of the greatest gifts that we as fathers can give is the gift of a blessing. Amen. A gift of a blessing. And throughout scripture, a father's blessing, as you go to God's words, a father's blessing from Abraham, Isaac, and all these fathers, Noah, carried tremendous significance because it communicated love, acceptance, purpose, hope. All these things is what blessings are all about. And even today, children, whether they are 5 or 50, long to hear affirming words from their father. And, you know, it's embarrassing to say, but as my children grew up, I rarely ever said a blessing over them. And I remember I said 5 or 50s. I was in my 50s already. And Pastor John, I said, you know, Pastor John, we're having a family dinner, and we're celebrating my dad's birthday. And he goes, you know what? Have you ever blessed your dad? I said, no, I never had. So he said, go ahead. As you pray, say a blessing over your father and see what happens. So I did that. As we were to Asagios. We're at Asagios, and the time came where I was going to pray for my dad. And I stood up and I told all my family members, I said, before I pray, I want to just say a blessing over dad. And I was doing that as I was blessing him. Just, I don't remember all the words I was saying, but I was just thanking him for just being the father that he was, sacrificing, working so hard as he did. You know, my father, he worked 24/7, 7 days a week for the family. And I just was just blessing him with all these things, and he just began to weep. And I just said, wow, that is so powerful. Pastor John was right, because when you say a blessing, even if a son saying a blessing over the father, it was so powerful. So that's the impact you have as fathers and as spiritual fathers in saying a blessing over someone. And that's what I want to point out today, because when you think about it, words are so powerful. So, so powerful. And I don't want to tell you the words that I used to use before, but words are so powerful. Because the Bible says death and life are in the power of our tongue. And each and every one of us here has spoken death before. And I'm not saying real harsh things, but there's a lot of things. You know, I was just talking to my wife as I was coming here, and I was thinking about when I was when I was a dad and my children was young and they were playing sports. Three things that I told her I want to mention. She goes, I don't know if you want to say that already. But three things that I used to say, other than you did great, because my son was, he was an all-star player. Three things that I spoke death when I think about it. I never did thought I'd think about it that way. Was would've, should've, could've. Would've, should've, could've. I always said, Sean, you was awesome today. You had so many blocks, but you could have done this better. You know, so that's the kind of things I thought, man, I used to say that a lot. Would've, should've, could've. And I think a lot of us have that in our vocabulary a lot of times. We don't mean bad when we say it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're speaking death. It just brings a different type of blessing when you want to say you did great, but there's always that but, the woulda, shoulda, coulda. So I was just thinking about that. Words are so powerful. I'm speaking from experience, because I wish someone would have shared this to me 40 years ago. This is just information I'm sharing. A lot of you know what I'm saying already, but this is just information that I want to share, how important a blessing is from a father. And this is the big idea for this message I want to give to you. If you don't get anything out of it, just remember this. A father's blessing has the power to shape a child's identity, strengthen their confidence, and point them towards God's purpose in their lives. And I'm going to touch on those three points as I share my points today. But today we will discover why a father's blessing matters and how we can leave a lasting legacy to our children. But before I start, I just want to share with you an example of how important and impactful a father's blessing can be. And it's on those three points that I just gave about identity, about confidence, and about God's purpose. Do you remember when Jesus, before his ministry even began, he said, you know, there's something I need to do. I need to be baptized. So what does he do? He goes to John the Baptist, who's baptizing. And he goes up to John. John baptizes Jesus. And as Jesus comes out of the water and begins to step out, the Bible says the heavens were opened. And a voice saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What a powerful blessing that God the Father can give to his son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Because just right after that, when you think about it, God is saying, this is my son. How great, how did Jesus feel that God is saying, this is my son? That's what we as fathers, we bless, this is my son, this is my daughter, who I am well pleased. And then from there, it gave him confidence. You see his ministry just take off. The many signs and wonders that he did after that affirmation from his father. And then it also pointed him towards God's purpose. Because throughout Jesus' ministry, it was one purpose from the start to the end. was one purpose, and that purpose was to take upon himself the sins of the world. Jesus knew why he was here. He knew his life on earth would be short. It wasn't going to be long. So that blessing just shot him straight towards his purpose. And that purpose was to take upon himself your sins and my sins, to die upon the cross, but on the third day, rise again. Amen. And being resurrected. How important was that blessing? Amen. So let me just open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this word that you have placed on my heart to the importance of a father's blessings, Lord. Lord, you have instilled in each and every one of us here as fathers and spiritual fathers that we are called to be a blessing. But not only to be a blessing, we are called to give a blessing, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you begin to just allow each father and spiritual father here to know their purpose, Lord, is to bless the next generation, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We just give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. So my first scripture is Genesis 27:27. And this is a father's blessings that gives identity. And this is what it reads. It says, so he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garment, he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Amen. So before Isaac even pronounces the blessing, he acknowledges Jacob as his son. Every child needs to know who they are and why they matter. Amen. Remember that every child knew who they are and why they matter. One of the greatest crises we have nowadays is our culture has an identity crisis. You know, I just was renewing my driver's license, and I was filling the application. And when it came to gender, it said male, female, and this other box, it said, not specified. So I was saying, not specified, what, is it supposed to be cat, dog? I mean, what is it? Male, female, and not specified. So I was thinking, you know, way back when we used to fill out applications, it just said male and female. It was nothing else than that, because in actuality, there's only male and female, unless we're considered with the animals, which we're not. We may act like animals, but we're not animals. It's just male and female. And when I saw that, not specified, I was thinking, man, I wonder how many people check that out. Not specified, because if it's not specified, I don't know who you're saying you are. Are you an alien or something from outer space? It made no sense, but it's on the application. Not specified. So you can see how our culture has this identity crisis. But that's how important a father's blessing is. Because for me, I remember Pastor John told me one time, it's never too late. It's never too late. If you've never done it before, it's never too late. I said, you're right, it's never too late. It's better late than never. So that's one thing. What a father's blessing says, it says, you are valuable. You are valuable. You are loved. You are God's gift. You are my child. There's so much positive things that a blessing can say. So when your children know, listen to this. I'm not saying this. I got this from when I was researching. This, listen to what this says. When a child knows that they are loved and accepted, they develop a deep sense of self-worth that transforms their neurological and emotional development. It transforms their minds, their hearts. Just kind words, just affirmations, just simple things. This foundation actually builds their self-esteem, makes them more resilient, confident, helps them navigate life's challenges, and shows empathy towards others. Unbelievable how important is that? How important is that? And each point I'm going to share a life application. And this is what this one is. Fathers, spiritual fathers, all male here, that means purposely, tell your children what you admire about them. I know some of you do that already. I've heard it before. Don't assume that they know. Speak it. Amen. That spoke to my heart, right? Don't assume that they know. We do a lot of great things for our children. We think they know you love, but speak it. Don't think it. Sometimes I can be too much of a thinker. I got to be a speaker. A simple statement. I wish this came out of my mouth when my children were young. These five words. I'm proud of you. I now sold that into my grandchildren at least. I always let them know that I'm proud of them. No matter how or whatever, I'm always proud of them. Because that simple statement can stay with a child for a lifetime. Because the greatest identity blessing that you can give to your family, listen to this, the greatest blessing that you can give to your family is who they are in Christ. That is their true identity, who they are in Christ. Listen to what it says in John 1:12. It says, but to all who receive him, all who receive him, listen, receive him, highlight, receive him, to those who believe in his name. So there's two conditions. You have to receive and you have to believe. And this is the promise. He gave the right to become children of God. That's our true identity. Amen. All we need to do is receive and believe. How simple is that? By receiving and believing, we are our God's children. Oh, man. Thank you, Kuhn, that. Amen. And, you know, for those who maybe no longer have an earthly father, or maybe your father never told you your true identity, this morning, as a spiritual father, I'm letting you know that as Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are now adopted into God's family. Amen. So if no one has ever done, I'm telling you that right now. Is Christ your Lord and Savior, you are now a child of the living God. You are now in God's family. And what better family to be in? Amen. Yes. Your past no longer defines you. Don't let the past try to raise its head up. You got to cut it off. Your past no longer defines you. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen. Amen. The old self is dead. That old man is dead. But sometimes that old man, he likes to just, I don't want to get into that. The old man is dead. And it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that so awesome? When you think of these words that God calls of us and thinks of us as righteous, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. That's his son, Jesus Christ, what he did for us. Through him, we might become righteousness in God's eye. Amen. We are righteous in God's eye. How awesome. You know, most of us say, well, I don't deserve that. None of us deserve. I don't deserve that. But God says that we are righteous in his sight. Amen. Through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's such a great identity for us to believe in. Another blessing speaks of God's favor. And let me read for you what it says in Genesis chapter 27, verse 28. It says, "Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and abundance of grain and new wine." So Isaac's blessing was more than just material things or positive things. He was evoking God's favor upon his son. That's, we as fathers, we need to pray God's favor upon your children, upon your family. I constantly always pray that. Favor for my family, favor for my children, favor for my grandchildren. Because when you look at it, godly fathers understand that their children need more than earthly success. It's great that they have great success in academics, in sports, in their jobs. That's important, but there's more to that we as father want for our children. We want them to have God's favor and God's guidance. If anything else, earthly things will all pass away. We don't say, "God, I wish my children are well-to-do, taken care of, wealthy, famous." But rather than say that, we need to pray a blessing that may our children walk with God. May they know Christ. May my child experience God's blessings. Amen. And the life application that I want to share to you, fathers, pray regularly for your children. And that's one thing here at the Door of Faith. We make praying something that's important because we have it several times throughout our service on Sundays. We have it on Tuesdays, on Tuesday mornings, Wednesday night, Saturday morning. We want you to be intentional when it comes to prayer. And prayer is so important because when we pray for our children, we pray for their faith. We pray for their friendships, the fellowships that they have. That's so important too. I always tell kids, you are with the people you hang around with. Pray for their future. Pray for the decisions that they make. Because we all know we have children. At some point in life, some have strayed away. But one thing that children know is like the prodigal son, that we as parents, mothers, fathers, we welcome them back with open arms. We pray for the decisions that they make. And even though they make the wrong decision, we pray for God's mercy and grace. I remember praying for my daughter's mercy and grace. Even though you make wrong decisions, I pray for your mercy and grace. And I thank God that God answered prayers. My daughter is awesome. She just has a 9-month-old daughter now doing a great job. And, you know, we all here are a product of prayer. Isn't that so amazing? We all here are part of a prayer. Even when I think about that, I think about my wife's grandmother, who we were in our family annual, going through pictures, and all of a sudden we come across a baptismal paper. And as we look at it, it's Pastor Mildred who signed the baptismal paper. So even before we were born, she was praying for the next generation already. Amen. So even for us, we may not see what the next generation, but we as fathers, we are the ones to begin to pray for that next generation. Amen. That's how important our father's blessings is. So never underestimate the power of prayer. You know, a couple of times I used to underestimate the power of prayer because I used to pray and God's not answering. This has been gone for a couple of years. What's going on? So I kind of almost doubt God sometimes. You know, God, I'm so faithful. I'm doing all this. And you're not answering a simple prayer. You know, and I begin to underestimate the power. But I think a lot of times God does it just to test our faithfulness and our resilience when it comes to perseverance. Amen. So, one of the great, sometimes we can't even explain some things that happen. And then all of a sudden, God answers, and I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for your favor. And the Bible says, the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those who walk uprightly. Amen. So, the third point I want to touch on, let me just read Genesis 27, 29. And this is, a father's blessing provides direction. And this is what it reads. It says, may peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be masters of your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. So Isaac's blessing pointed towards Jacob's future. Because why? A blessing looks beyond today and speaks vision into tomorrow. Amen? Remember that. A blessing looks beyond today and speaks vision into tomorrow. Our children need fathers who can see potential in them before they're fully developed. This is so important. And that's why I always let children know that they are born for greatness. Always see potential in before even things happen. I let them know that they are born for greatness. Why? Because I tell them, the Bible tells you that. You are born for greatness. God created us. He didn't create it. Think about it. God didn't just create us to be subpar. God created us to be great. God doesn't want subpar. He wants excellence. And that's what God created each and every one of us in our children. He created us for greatness. And this is what it says in Genesis chapter 12. It says, I will make you into a great nation. He's talking to Abraham. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. You know, this morning we're in Bible study. We're in the chapter 7 of Nehemiah. And if you go into chapter 7 of Nehemiah, all it is 50, maybe 50 or 40 verses of just genealogy. But we're talking about how important these names are, because these names are, they're like nobody names. Oh, you don't even know who these are. But God had a reason why he needed to put this name in the Bible. And what it was for is these names were great. They were showing the identity of God's people, just ordinary people. That's how Nehemiah was able to build the wall in 52 days. Because he used ordinary people, those list of names, to do extraordinary things. Because we are called to do extraordinary things through God. And that's what this identity thing was all about this morning. Because these people did extraordinary things. And that's what we tell our children, that their name will be great. And you will be a blessing. Amen? Amen. Our children will be a blessing. Because when you look at the Bible, many biblical fathers spoke prophetically about God, what he would do to their children. And I'm just going to share Jacob, since we're already talking about Jacob. Jacob spoke prophetically over his 12 sons. And I thought this was so interesting. Because one of his sons was Asher. And this is what he says about Asher. Let me just read it first. It says, his food shall be rich and abundant, fit for royalty. Then I thought of my grandson, Asher. He's an awesome cook. He bakes fantastic food. He's just a fantastic cook. And I was just thinking about this, how a prophetic word spoken on Jacob. Just, you know, we in Hawaii, we when we have a child, a name is so important. I remember my son going to this book and it's like 1,000 names, because names are so important. We don't just, I didn't think of that back then, but names are so important. And that's what I said, man, if Jacob spoke prophetically over his son Asher, that name still continues on with what that prophetic word is, because my grandson, his food is rich. It's an abundant fit for royalty. Amen. I thought that was so interesting. I said, wow, it just continues on to generation and generation. And not only that, another son that Jacob spoke prophetically over was his son Judah. And this is what he says, that we know what line Judah comes to. It says, this is what it says in Genesis. You are a lion's cub. Judah, you return from the prey. My son, like a lion, he crouches and lies down, like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nation shall be his. So we all know who that is. Amen? Who's that? It's Jesus, because Jesus, we say, is the lion from the tribe of Judah. And see how when Jacob spoke prophetically over Judah, how it came to fruition. So we as fathers speak prophetically into our children, our grandchildren, speak prophetically into anybody, people. That is so important, because you can see what happens when we do that. We may not see it in our lifetime, but how important is that? Amen? Even Zechariah spoke prophetically over his infant son, and his son was John the Baptist. And he said that he would prepare the way for the Messiah. How specific is that prophetic word? Because we know, is that what he did? He was the one that baptized Jesus, that prepared the way, that he said that, I can't baptize you by shoes. I can't even unlatch, your shoes. But he prepared the way for the Messiah. So how awesome are those prophetic blessings? That's why Isaac understood the importance, how important it was. Because a blessing is not about just the present generation. It also affects the future generations. Amen. Because material possessions will fade away, but spiritual influence will remain. Because a father's word echoes long after he is gone. Because people may forget what a father did, what a father owned, but they will often remember what he said. And listen to this, because this really pricked my heart. What words will your children remember you saying? I have to really think about that. What word will your children remember you saying? Think about that. It's a blessing says, I believe God has a purpose for your life. A blessing has words of comfort, has positive affirmation. Let me share this life application. Instead of constantly pointing out weaknesses, that was me. I used to see so much weakness and point them out. Help your children discover their God-given strengths. I wish I knew that before, because I always wanted to only see weakness. I only saw weakness. I never saw strengths. I just said, you did this wrong. You should be doing it. You should jump this way. You should do it. Stop pointing out weakness. Help your children discover their God-given strengths. Be a coach, not a critic. When I saw that point, I said, I got to write this one down, because throughout my life, I was a critic. I was my children's worst critic. Rather be a coach. Because encouragement is so powerful. It allows your children confidence to grow. Encouragement. discouragement will never allow any type of growth. Encouragement. Be known for your encouragement rather than your criticism. Amen. And remember, a father's blessing reflects the heart of God. So God is the perfect father. He's the perfect example. Because when you look at throughout Scripture, God blesses, he encourages, he affirms his children. Just like what I mentioned earlier, when he affirmed his son, "This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased." God publicly affirmed his son. We as fathers and spiritual fathers are called to reflect that same heart. Amen. It's not like affirming your children publicly. I remember a long time ago, I was just doing completely the opposite. And I remember my wife was telling me all these things and I wouldn't listen to him. And back then I was a coach. And a parent came up to me and he said the same thing my wife's saying. And it really stuck to me. Now, no matter how much she told me, but when this person said the same thing, it really got to open my eyes, like, my wife is correct. Other people are seeing the same thing that I'm saying and doing to my children that I'm not seeing. And since from that point on, I began to change the way I coach my daughter. Amen. Because it made a big difference. Words of affirmation. Let me give you this last life application. Make blessings a regular practice. Don't wait for certain occasions or graduations or weddings. And speaking of weddings, we have two newlyweds in the house right here. Dalton and Natalie, that's Pastor John and Pastor Pat's grandson. They just got married a couple days ago. So let's give them a hand. Amen. Amen. They're spending their time here in Hawaii. What better place to have your honeymoon but in Hawaii? But, I mean, they're your future up-and-coming parents, you know? And it's so important. And I hope you're taking this into your heart, Dalton, and the importance of a blessing your children. Speak life. Speak life. Tell them the three easiest words that sometimes is the hardest word to say is, "I love you. I believe in you. God has a plan for your life." Amen. So as I come to the conclusion of this message, just a short message, I just want to let you folks know, just the reason why God has placed this on my heart is because it's so important that we bless the next generation. It's so, so, so important. I know Matthew guys out in Waikiki, they do all of that in Waikiki. They see just a whole bunch of the world passing by them from every nation. But we are called to bless the next generation. Amen. And remember that big idea that a father's blessing has the power to shape a child's identity, strengthen their confidence, and point them towards God's purpose for their lives. And this is a final challenge. And I'm going to have to try to live up to this challenge because I want to do it myself. Whether your children are grown or young, begin blessing them intentionally. Speak words of faith instead of fear. Speak God's promises instead of life's limitations. Because years from now, they may forget many things, but they will remember the blessing of a father who loved them, who prayed for them, and who pointed them towards God. Because a father's greatest legacy is not what he leaves for his children. Remember that. Father's great is not what you leave for your children, but what you leave in your children. Amen. Just remember that. It's not all the things you leave them, money, home, whatever. is what you leave in them. Because money, home will disappear, but what's in them will last them into eternity. Amen. And that's how important a father's blessing is. And the challenge that I want to challenge you this morning, before the day ends, say a blessing to you, with your children. Say a blessing to your grandchildren, to your wife, to a friend, to somebody, whoever you come across. Say a blessing to them. Blessings are so simple. I thought that I would have to do some kind of elaborate blessing, but a blessing can just be one simple sentence. God loves you. God has a plan for you. So easy things to do. But before the day ends, say a blessing for someone. Amen? As they get ready to pass out that little gift, and it's one thing I love about Father's gifts, it always has to do with food. And isn't that the best? But can we all fathers and father figures, I want you to just come up here. So that way they can come and pass out. So all you fathers and spiritual fathers, come up. Right back, in front of me, it would be fine. Just come up. And those who are going to prepare the little small gift, they can start passing them out. Amen. As they come up, Matthew, you're definitely a spiritual father. Come up here. I want you too, James. In fact, Dalton, all the males come up here. And you get future, there we go, future dad. Oh, okay, I see what you guys are giving. I don't know if Leah would accept this kind of stuff because this is one of the worst. This soda. Isn't that so awesome? Soda, wow, that's awesome. And what goes with soda? Popcorn. But anyway, can we just also, everyone just stretch your hands to, towards everyone in front of me, in back of me. As I said, prayer, you guys can pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift and responsibility of fatherhood. Help fathers and spiritual fathers speak words that build up, encourage, and guide their children. May every father reflect your heart by blessing the next generation. We just thank you that each and every one are called. And we just thank you for every man up here, Lord. Because it's so important, blessing the next generation. We just thank you. We just give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen.